In our breakout and best-selling book, Looking for Angels, A Guide to Understanding and Connecting with Angels, Dr. Scott Guerin and I share how you can communicate with angels, understand signs from the universe and these celestial beings, feel at peace knowing you are always connected to Source, and much more. Get your copy today at lookingforangelsbook.com, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or your local bookstore. And now you can even get the audio version narrated by me and Scott through Amazon, Audible, and iTunes. You are listening to A Psychic Story, a podcast that shares behind-the-scenes insights of people who lead supernatural lives among the ordinary. And I'm your host, Nicole Bigley. Join me every other Wednesday as I dispel the myths behind magic and lore. Welcome to A Psychic Story. Hey everyone, as I mentioned, here's Victoria Shaw, and we are going to be talking about using intuition and spiritual guidance to set and achieve goals, and also what is really the importance of surrender, so and spiritual surrender for that matter. So when you have a goal, that doesn't necessarily mean that you need to control every single thing for it to kind of come into place, and that's something that is right up our alley, as we've talked about on this show before. So welcome, Victoria.
Thank you. So good to be here.
Yes, we're very excited to dive in. And how we like to do it on the show is, of course, people that have been listening for a while know that we just go straight into what is your background and how did you get started in tapping into your intuition and then also weaving it into your practice with your clients?
So my background is, I think I was someone who's probably always intuitive, but I was so overwhelmed. I'm an empath. I came from a somewhat dysfunctional family. I was so overwhelmed by all the information I was receiving that I don't think I really recognized it for what it was. And about 15 years ago, I made a move from New York City to Connecticut, which is a much calmer, quieter area. And I also, at that point in my life, I had left a career in academic psychology and spent time raising my family, but I was feeling like there was something I was supposed to be doing. There was something more, and I knew I didn't want to go back to doing what I was doing before. And I had small young kids, which is not always the best time to branch out and try new things, but the feeling wouldn't go away. And when we moved to Connecticut and I started deepening my meditation practice and doing some personal development work, I realized that I had these intuitive gifts. I realized that I'd had it my whole life, that I didn't know it, and that part of my calling was to hone those and really tap in so that I could use that for myself and for others. As the gift developed, what I realized is one of my special skills was that I could read other people, and I could, see what people are feeling, see what they were thinking, receive guidance for other people on, what the next steps in their lives were. And because of that, I decided, since I was already an academic psychologist, I made the decision to also pursue a counseling degree so I could have, really ground what I was getting into some really concrete skills. So I went back and received a master's of counseling, and I put the two things together now in my work.
That's amazing. And when you mentioned that you realized that you had intuitive gifts, do you think that all people have those gifts? I had somebody explain it to me, which I think totally makes sense, that some people are natural born runners. Some people just get math really quickly. Some people are more creative in nature. And so in some cases, while we all may have a little bit of it, maybe it's just easier for some of us to kind of shape that. Or do you think that it's something, I'd love to hear your perspective about it.
I think that's a beautiful analogy. I think that for some of us, maybe we've worked over this on this for many, many lifetimes, and or just, a confluence of factors in this lifetime, and it just really works for you and flows for you, and it comes very naturally. For other people, not so much, and they do have to work at it. But I think it's also important too to know everyone has intuition. Everyone's connecting with their intuitive guidance all the time. It's just most people aren't aware of it. So there isn't anyone who is not being guided. We are all being guided. It's just a lot of people are so much in their minds that they can't always hear or be aware of the guidance, but it's still always happening. And anyone can make that intention to open up more to their intuitive guidance and bring intuition more into their lives. And they may not do what I do or what you do, but you know, it'll still enhance their lives. It'll still be exactly the right channel, the right information, and the right intuition just for them.
I'm so excited to dive into that more and get some details on how we can actually tap into that. Because like you said, everybody does it a little bit differently or needs something, right? And as far as like turning it on. But before we do that, tell me a little bit. So you mentioned that you had your psychology degree. What happened then? What were people's thoughts when you decided to naturally dive into this modality and bring that to your, you know, to the forefront? Were people surprised, not surprised?
Because my family's always been really supportive. My friends have been really supportive. A lot of people said to me after the fact, years later, saying, oh, this makes perfect sense. Knowing you before, knowing your family, like, it makes sense that you're doing this. You know, I always thought there was something about you, and now I get what it is. So I think I was really fortunate that way. I think the bigger battle was in my very own mind, because being trained as an academic psychology, and I went to an Ivy League, so I was like all in, left brain person. And I think the battle was in my own mind to really start to let go of some of that stuff and understand that this other way of knowing, it's, our minds are great. My training is great. I draw on it and use it all the time, and I'm so grateful for it. But my intuition comes first for me. And I think that our intellectual information should be in service of our intuition and not the other way around. So for me, it was sort of letting go of the need to know and letting go of all of the things that I've been taught about, you know, even just, you know, intuition is something you just know. It's something that just comes to you. And later on, you could do a bunch of experiments and they might actually lead you to the very same answer, but it works differently. So for me, it was a lot of coming to terms within myself that this was an okay way of knowing, that this was a better way of knowing for me. And the proof for me was in the pudding, because as I started to develop my intuition and as I really made that intention to live more in line with spirit and my guidance, my higher self, my life kept getting better. And people that, you know, knew me would say, what have you been doing? Like, you're a different person. This is great. So
you become more authentically yourself. And I think that it's for people to be able to relate more to you as on a human level, because you are not, I don't want to say hiding anything, because we don't do it intentionally. I don't think it's what we're programmed from a young age. And you mentioned I read in your bio that you felt like you had a lack of purpose and that made you feel overwhelmed and anxious. And then there was like kind of the spiritual awakening that goes into that. I'd love to hear a little bit more about that, because I think that a lot of times people are going through something similar and they don't necessarily equate it to that it's actually a spiritual awakening necessarily. And one of the podcasters I love that actually encouraged me to do this show is Kathy Heller. And she has a podcast called Don't Keep Your Day Job. And she said the opposite of depression isn't happiness. It's actually purpose. And I say that frequently to myself during the day, not that I'm depressed, but I think that because of what you said in your bio, and then also what she says is actually true. Like, if we're not following our North Star or our calling or our purpose, then we get lost. And so if you could walk us through what individuals or yourself experienced so that they know when to tap in and when to actually like that, this is a sign, right? That you should be following to open yourself up more to this.
Absolutely. And if you give me a minute here, because I have guidance that wants to come through on this topic. So I'm going to get out of my brain and get into that. Because one of the things that really wants, I'm feeling called to contribute or to say right now about guidance and purpose is that when we're talking about purpose, we're really talking about being in alignment with what our spirit wants. A lot of times people think purpose, you know, from their egos, from their minds, and from what society tells us our purpose should look like. And oftentimes, sometimes those things line up perfectly, but sometimes too, we can make ourselves crazy looking for that kind of purpose. So I think it's really important when we talk about purpose, really aligning it with that deeper meaning in your life, that deeper spiritual meaning in your life. And I think that's what really helped me, because I think when I left academic psychology because it just wasn't resonating with me. I didn't really love doing research. I had gone into psychology to ask the big questions like, what is consciousness? And those were not questions really that academic psychology was really answering at the time. So it was a mismatch for me. And I was looking for all these things to do, to find that meaning, to find that purpose, to find that in this case, I had kids. So that definitely was very fulfilling. Being a mother was very fulfilling to me. But I also had a sense of wanting to have a career and wanting to act in the world. And I was doing it from the wrong place. I was looking what my mind was saying, what people were telling me, this should be what you should do next. And this makes sense. And this is prestigious. And this will make money. And none of those things were what I needed to align with what I'm doing now, which is giving me all of the things that I want and wanted, but, you know, in a more meaningful way. So I think that when we think about purpose, it's that deeper purpose, really thinking about that inner deeper purpose.
Yeah, and then that clarity lends or leads itself to action, right? So it's not necessarily getting the house, getting that job, finding that person as much. I mean, yes, you may be led to or feeling that that's important, and I'm not knocking any of right. that, but it's more about what are you getting out of it in terms of a spiritual sense, and what are you giving back to others in the spiritual world that then ends up fulfilling you? And when you finally get the clarity on that, then everything else just, I don't want to say starts to fall into place, but you get the signs more, right?
And you have to, and when you get those signs, it definitely makes sense to act on them and move forward. But yeah, I have parents. I live and practice in a very high pressure, affluent community. And I will have parents come in to me with their, you know, and say, my 10-year-old hasn't found their purpose yet, or they haven't found their passion.
Oh my goodness.
And it's so sad. And I'm like, it's okay. He's not a sport kid and he's not a math kid. And I don't know what he's going to do. And I'm like, he's going to be okay. So that's what I was distinguishing between, because sometimes even that idea of purpose can get taken over by this, you know, ego-driven, I have to do. And sometimes you don't. It comes right. When we align, when we surrender, it comes right to us. It comes into our lap. And it's always more rewarding and fulfilling than what your mind could have dreamed up.
Yeah. And it's a very important distinction, because we as a society in the last, I want to say 50, even 100 years, we ended up becoming more of the factory worker mindset. Like, you go to work, you come home, there's this thing, like, you have to know what your goal is in life. Do you want to become a doctor or an engineer or this, that, and the other? And the pressure that we put on ourselves, and then society also puts on us, or it's a perceived thing, right? That ends up just spiraling out of control. And when in reality, if we are just to kind of listen and tune in to ourselves, that we would be a lot more A, aligned, and then B, starting to hear more what that purpose is. So would love to hear more from you on, if somebody comes to you, what does the process look like? So I took the quiz on your website. It was definitely, you know, spot on. But what does that look like when somebody comes to you and says, okay, we'll take career for an example. If they want to get ahead, if they want to be very, you know, abundant in their career or that sort of thing, what is it that you like kind of walk them through, and I know every individual is different, so it'll probably be customized, but if you could kind of just give us an idea of what that looks like, I think that would be very helpful.
And it's true that everyone's different. And I think when you're using your intuition, when I'm using my intuition and my guidance, I'm always really careful not to have a recipe book out mm-hmm. and really tune into what that person needs in that moment of time. And it's always going to be different from one session to another, from one part of a session to another. And that's what I love about intuition.
Yeah. And that's completely different than the medical community. They like to look at things as a formula, right? Because then they can have tests right. and they can have benchmarks and say, well, this worked for this person. This is status quo. This is how we have to do it. And what I loved what you said there is that it is intuition. So in general, as much as you can or best you can, what does that look like when you're working with somebody?
So usually when people come in, and again, it's different for everyone, but usually when people come in, they're usually focused on a specific problem. I love the work that I do. And occasionally I will get someone who just, like, especially my long-term clients who just come in for that energy checkup. And they're just, what do the guys have to say? What do I need to be working on? And those are some of my funnest clients. But oftentimes people come in because something's wrong. And so there's something specific that's in their life that is a struggle. So if it's career, it might be worrying they're not making enough, or it might be worrying that, you know, feeling like they're not fulfilled, or it might be a difficult boss or difficult coworkers, a long commute, work-family balance. So usually the first thing is we begin by focusing on the issue that the client brings to the table, because there usually is something. And then I would provide, first of all, I tune into my guidance. And when I think about my guidance, what I always explain to people is that I'm a conduit for your guidance. So there's nothing I know that you don't know, that your spirit doesn't know. I mean, on human form, I know stuff. I have lots of degrees and letters after my name, and I've studied and I've read. So I know some stuff, and I'll bring that to the table too. But in terms of the guidance piece, you know, we all, any information I'm giving to my clients, they know, at least their higher self knows. And I am giving that back to them so they can hear it again in human form, and that spark can awaken within them. So the first thing that I do is really tune into the guidance and see what comes through for that client in terms of whatever they're struggling with. And I always tell people too, to focus on what resonates with them, because what I'm also trying to do when I do this work and provide guidance for people is I'm trying to help them start to hear their own inner guidance. And so if someone comes to me and they just want me to tell them what to do or tell them what, quote unquote, their guides are saying, that gives the power to me and I don't want it. Everybody tap into their power and learn more and more what feels right to them and what resonates with them. And 9 out of 10 times after working with someone for a while, and sometimes even after one session, their intuition, if it isn't already there, well, you know, it is already there, but if they're, even if they're not aware of it and working with it yet, it will start to develop. So that's really the first thing that I do is tap into that guidance. Oftentimes, you know, sometimes the information that comes through is very, very specific. It might be a reading on the coworker. It might be something karmic about a past life or something that's happened, you know, or something that someone is here to work on with a relationship at work or just work in general. And so that information will come through. Sometimes it's really striking information about, you know, helping someone really see that maybe they're not in the right line of work and helping them find those next steps to move on to something else. And sometimes too, probably because I'm a counselor, but also I became a counselor for this reason, oftentimes the information I see is from unresolved childhood issues that are recreating themselves in other aspects of our lives. If, for example, you grew up in a family that was very, very chaotic, you may find yourself unconsciously drawn to work environments that are similar because you're still working on navigating that issue. Mm. When we find that overlay between our childhood issues and the present issues, A, we can start to orient ourselves in the present and recognizing that you're activated now because this happened in your childhood, but you're not a child now. You have more power now. And what can you do now to transform this?
And that's really an interesting point because I believe on the show I've mentioned, but I moved about 22 times before I went to college. So I moved quite a bit as a kid. Yeah. And
wow. Okay.
And so what's interesting and kind of just to kind of relate to that is for me, I ended up picking a career that was in PR and communications, which every day is different. So that I didn't necessarily know what I was going to get because it felt familiar to me. And I always equated it to the fact that I was getting bored because of that childhood thing. So I think some things, and what I'm hearing you say, and correct me if I'm wrong, is some things are good in the sense that they prepared you for where you need to be and where you're at. But then also if it's Absolutely. Something that's unresolved, then you definitely need to take the time to kind of dive into that and do the work, right?
For sure. And again, if you had a parent specific example of someone that I'm working with who had parents that were very disorganized and, you know, would just lose, you know, if there was a permission slip from school, it wouldn't get done. If they had to sign him up for a class, it wouldn't get done. You know, the paperwork for his driver's license wouldn't get done. And so he's become amazing as an adult at navigating and organizing because he had to take that on as a child or it didn't get done. And so that is a beautiful gift. And if you can get the anxiety piece out of it, because of course, too, sometimes we can be so fearful of not being completely organized because in our childhood, it was so chaotic. So it's sort of teasing apart those emotional things that might be getting in our way or creating problems, but also recognizing our strengths. And sometimes they're just strengths. Sometimes, you know, you have developed adaptability because you've moved so much. And that is a great soul lifetime strength for you. And other times it can be a liability mm-hmm. and something you need to work on. And then, you know, more often than not, it's both. So we tease out the strength. A lot of people that maybe felt insecure in their childhoods or they were bullied in their childhoods, as adults, they may have a really, or they, you know, didn't get the care maybe and attention that they needed from their parents in their childhoods. And they become very strong, empowered adults. And they may still sometimes be working on some of that baggage and sometimes not. Sometimes it just magically goes away, but you know, there's still amazing strength.
Yeah. And I definitely believe our strengths are also our weaknesses. So it's definitely a balance, right? You want to lean into it when you can, but not lean into it too much to where it ends up being the only thing that you're focused on because there is that yin and yang with it. And so I've always been curious. I'm a type A person. And when I go through things and what I've realized most recently, the last few years of my life is that there's this art of surrender. And it's definitely good to have goals and objectives. But ultimately, like at the end of the day, really the universe is always going to be giving us what we need in life and what we need at that moment. And I think it's difficult for people on one level, actually it's just human beings, because we do want to control things, especially in this day and age where everything's immediate, we get results, all these things. What does that art of surrender look like and how can we be more present about it and start to feel more comfortable with it in our everyday lives so that we start to bring that into practice more?
So I like to think of an analogy of like a boat. a boat going down a river with a strong current. And ideally, you want to be on the boat going in alignment. The current is like, you know, the rhythm of your life, the path of your life, the way your soul intends. And ideally, you want to be on the boat moving with the current using your rudder. So you're guiding through the obstacles, you're staying on track, you're navigating what's ahead of you. But what you're not trying to do is swim up current. Because as soon as we try to turn that boat around and go the other way, we're going to have a lot of resistance and a lot of discomfort. And what most people do is they try to take their boats and they try to go the other way because they want to control everything. And so the more that we surrender really means that you can start to move with the current of life. It doesn't mean that you do nothing. It doesn't. It's not a lazy river, although at times it can be because, you know, sometimes it is nice to relax, but you will still have to pay attention and navigate, but you'll be moving along with the flow, with a higher flow of your life. And so that's how I see it in sort of the bigger sense. And so the way that you can start to have that alignment is connecting with your intuition and connecting with your guidance. And you can also sometimes notice too, when life is feeling really, really frustrating, sometimes that means you need to take a step back and you're heading the wrong way.
When you're trying too hard in a lot of ways.
Pushing the river. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we hit obstacles even when we're heading the right way because, again, life is just often has obstacles. It's just part of the process of how we live. But when you really have that frustrating, you know, I can't make this happen. It's not working. I'm overwhelmed. Usually 9 out of 10 times is because you're pushing the river. You're trying to do it all yourself. And those are the moments when I find myself in those moments. Which I still do more frequently than I wish. What I always do is just take a step back. First, you have to recognize it and realize I'm overwhelmed. I'm pushing the river. I'm frustrated. Like nothing good is going to come of this energy. And then I try to step out of it, use self-soothing tools if I need to, take a step back, and then I ask for guidance. And that guidance can come in a voice in my head. That guidance can come in a dream. Oftentimes, it can, you know, for me, it can come from a trusted friend or a guide. Because if it's something that's really close to me, it's always a little harder to hear your intuition, but you still can. But the guidance always comes. And sometimes you can also ask for life to be your guide. And you know, opportunities will come. And when you have that opportunity that fits all the bills, sometimes we're trying so hard to say, I want it this way. I, you know, I need this job. I need to make this much money. It needs to be in this geographical location. I want this kind of boss. And all that might be fine and well, but it's not really what your spirit wants for you. And it may not even be what's satisfying. It's what your mind is thinking would be helpful. But your spirit might have a much better idea and a better plan for you. So sometimes when we can just step back, the right opportunity will show up right there. And then you'll know. It'll be so clear. You'll be like, what was I thinking? This is what I wanted to do all along.
Yeah, I've had experience. And I think for people that are listening, that when they hear us say, well, just listen to your intuition and guidance, like you said, all of the things of it's simple, but it's not. So I think what you mentioned, it's very important to step back and reflect to say, okay, hold the phone, pause for a second, breathe, take a look at what of inventory that's going on in your life, how you're feeling about certain things. Your emotions are a big part of how, if it feels right to you, if it doesn't feel right to you. Again, it sounds simple, but we forget that a lot. And then everybody is different. So it may be something of a sense of knowing and you're just like, this is what I feel the most passionate about. Sometimes it could be signs and symbols of things that you see that are guiding you in the right direction because they're meaningful to you. And to just start that, those little things that then kind of give you that sense of where you're going. And, you know, I think it's also beautiful that you mentioned about you don't want to be too specific. So when you box yourself in, and you say, okay, this is the salary, all that, the salary you need, the type of boss, this, that, and the other. I always say, how do you want to feel, right? About the work, the people that you do, and don't necessarily put the parameters on it because your higher self is going to know and your spirits and your guides and the universe are going to know what it is that you need. So if you surrender to that piece of it, then you are being at least honest in yourself of what you want and what you need, but then you're letting a higher purpose take over.
Absolutely. And what most of us want to be is happy, fulfilled. And so when you put your energy there and then say, you know, higher self, help me get there through this vehicle, through this work, through whatever, you're going to likely get a much better result.
It's so funny because in my day-to-day life, I try and say, okay, I'm not going to micromanage people that work for me or that sort of thing. But then what I end up doing is I do it unconsciously to myself and micromanage every little aspect. And so like I mentioned earlier, the last few years have been about more surrendering and letting that go. And you talk a lot about our spirit guides and then our higher self and guidance from you for people that may not, you know, have been listening all along to the show or aren't as in depth about this. What does that mean? Or what's in the simplest terms? Can you explain that to people so that they can kind of differentiate?
Right. In terms of spirit guides, well, I believe that we're all spirit in physical form for our learning, growth, and enjoyment. And so we're all here to accomplish things. We're all here to learn. We usually do this more than once. So we have multiple lifetimes. So you have lots of chances to get it right. But each time you come in and you go through a lifetime, you know, you make some mistakes or you get some information. And so you sometimes can get some stuff that you might want to work on again the next time around. So that's when things get a little more interesting. But so we're all here with a plan. Our souls have a plan for us. And before we incarnate, we even have a plan before we come into our physical bodies. There's even a rough plan of what you're going to work on, who you're going to work on it with, and what even some of those challenges are going to be. Now, we all have free will, so you can change things up at any time. But there's a plan and a structure to your life that you don't know about in your small human mind, but your spirit or your higher self has a really good idea. So you can tap into that higher wisdom. You can tap into your higher self to get guidance on that at any time. And sometimes it's very explicit. Sometimes a client comes into my office and I will get very explicit information about, you're having this challenge and this is what your soul wants you to work on. But it doesn't have to be like that. It doesn't have to be that clear. Cool if it is. It can sometimes just be very small, minute little bits of guidance about what your very next little step is. And then you asked me about spirit guides, and it is my understanding and my experience that we all have spirit that guide us and support us on our human journeys. Because when we come into physical form, we forget that we're physical beings, and some of us awaken and are reminded. And our spirit guides are here to help us stay on our path. And usually they're highly evolved spiritual beings that may have walked on earth at some point in their very own journey, but they're doing different stuff now. And some of them, their main purpose is to guide you from birth to death. And they're just you could say your guardian angel or your guardian spirit, and others come and go. But we all have a spiritual support team that's here to help us and support us and guide us in our lives. And again, whether you know it or not, it's working for you. But when you do know it and you do tap into it, you can use it more consciously and intentionally. And I also find for me, just the whole idea of spirit guides was so helpful, because prior to sort of awakening to my own spiritualness, I felt very alone in the world. And, you know, I had my family and a few people that I really clinged to, but other than that, I always felt very alone. And as soon as that spirit world came back to me and I realized I was supported, it was just such a wonderful feeling to know that there's more than just this human experience that I could fall back on. And I found it just very inspiring.
We're never alone. And I completely concur with you about the whole, we have been born before, most of us, and we have a plan, and it's a rough plan. And I love the way you said that, because when you talk about free will, and most people that I've either gotten readings from or have come to me even for readings, they, you know, sometimes it's the question of, well, if I have a path and I have a plan, then I should be here, here, and here. Again, that's like our human brain and our ego brain, right?
Yeah.
Our whole purpose is to learn and grow more spiritually, right, about this. And so, right. I mean, I may be in the wrong camp on this, but I ultimately believe that you get to where you want to go and where your destiny is. But at the same time, sometimes your path may take a little longer to get there based on your choices and others' choices that you've made that rough outline or plan with, then you may just need to navigate it and may take a little bit longer. And that doesn't mean that you're going to get like the cheat sheet necessarily unless you're doing the hard work on it.
Absolutely. And the good news is that in the spirit realm, there's no time. So your guides don't care how long it takes. And your spirit doesn't care how long it takes, because there is no time. But yes, we can sometimes take the direct route, and sometimes we can take the more curvy route. But sometimes the curvy route is the really interesting one to take. Again, because a lot of times what we think of as important from our human sense is not what interests our spirit, higher spiritual sense at all. So sometimes when we take that curvy route, you know, you get a lot more information and a lot more experience. So there's not really a right or wrong way to do it. Just different kinds of experiences that a spirit can have.
What's the biggest aha experience that you've had doing this? I mean, having been in, you know, the academia world or academic world and going through this and then combining it with your spiritual aspects and intuition, for you, what was the biggest moment? Because I know I have a few where just even thinking about the hair stain on the back of my neck and it makes me feel more invigorated and passionate, but I'd love to hear from you what yours was, if you have one.
I mean, in terms of my work, in terms of my personal...
Anything really, like what is an aha moment of where things clicked for you and you felt more connected to the divine and that you were following your purpose?
I think when my intuition started opening for me, just in general, that was a huge aha moment, because all of a sudden, all of the different parts of my life started to connect. And things that I understood and did in childhood suddenly made sense. And even parts of my own history started to make sense because I could see them now from a different lens and a different perspective. I also think another big one for me was when I learned about that thing called intuitive empathy, because I'm a very empathic feeler mm-hmm. person. So empaths are people that feel what other people are feeling as if it's happening to them. And so for me, I was what we might call an out of control empath. I was feeling everything that everyone around me felt all the time. And I remember I once had a healer that was doing energy work, and she was like, yeah, I spent an hour moving anger from your leg. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. I didn't know you could do that. And she's like, mm-hmm, it's a thing. But the most interesting thing, Victoria, was that you didn't know any of the people whose anger was in your leg. Like I was just, yeah, I'd go to the grocery store, you know, and someone would be having a bad day and it would go into my leg. So understanding empathy, just, it really helped me understand myself and my life better, helped me understand just why certain things were difficult, why certain things were easy for me. And it also gave me a great framework to healing, because it's great. And when you're a counselor and you can, you know, check in for a minute and feel what your client's feeling, you can really have compassion and really stand in their shoes. However, if you're just, and I have a lot of clients like this, if you're just turned down all the time and you're just taking on what everyone else is feeling, you know, my job would not be a lot of fun for me. And it ultimately, I would stop being good at it because I would just be emotionally overwhelmed. So that was another aha for me. It was just the discovery of this thing called empathy and learning how to work with it.
Yeah. And isn't it a huge relief when you finally are like, okay, that's not me. And that's not my feeling. That's somebody else's. Yeah. The relief. Because for a while there, you're just like, why am I sad? Or why am I feeling all of these things? And you can't quite put your finger on it. And so it's nice when you're actually in tune and more in alignment with yourself and you can identify that. And for a lot of people that are listening, if you, like, if everything's going right and everything's going well, sometimes it's not because you're not following the path or your purpose that you need to be. You need to really do a check-in with yourself to see if it truly is you, or if it's somebody that you're living with or your friends or coworkers and so forth. And what do you recommend to your clients when they're seeing you about, like, that sort of thing? Because you are an empath. I'm definitely an empath. And sometimes people have different gifts and abilities as well. But what can we do to be more grounded? I mean, I have my own practice and things, but what are some of the tips and things that you, and solutions that you share with people?
First of all, sort of know what your own energy feels like. And this can be harder for some people than others. But the ways that we usually feel our own vibration when you're in nature is a really good time, when you probably really feel more like yourself and connected, when you're doing something that you really love, in that flow state. That's another time that we often feel our own energy and feel really connected. Sometimes in meditation, you can really feel your own energy and feel when you're connected and grounded. And so when you start to have those really present experiences to come back to, that's really powerful, because you can start to know what feels like me and what doesn't feel like me. You can also ask. So, you know, when I was a kid, I really thought that emotions were these things that just kind of came and went randomly. You know, I'd be sitting there playing with my Barbie dolls and suddenly I'd be sad. I didn't know why that was. I thought that's how emotions work. Now I realize it was not like that at all. I just grew up around very emotionally volatile people and I was just picking it up all the time. So their moods were changing and I was just picking it up. But, you know, recognizing that about myself was huge. But then I also have to learn what it feels like, what my feelings feel like. And also, it's really good to sometimes just check in and say, is this mine? And if it's not mine, ask to let it go. But the biggest thing I see with empaths, and I work with children, teens, and adults, and I see this on all levels, is sometimes people with that empathic personality, those empathic gifts, believe that, whether it's conscious or unconscious, they believe that if I can feel it, I'm meant to do something about it. So they may know it's not theirs, but they can feel what someone else is feeling. And they think that means that I have to act. And so the biggest thing that I teach empaths is that's not the case. Being able to feel what other people are feeling to a certain degree gives you compassion. And that's beautiful. That is what helps you see that we're all human, that we're all connected. It helps you less often than not get into this sort of he said, she said, because you have compassion for that other person as well as for yourself. But you have to have compassion for yourself, which means that you know that, you know, my safety, my strength, my comfort, my integrity comes first. I have to protect myself, because you really can't do anything else if you don't have compassion for yourself first. And then recognizing that we all have our struggles in life. We all have the things that we are, you know, are here to do. We all have times when things aren't going perfectly for us. And, you know, we all have moments when we are in pain, and you can have having compassion for somebody else means that you can hold the space for them. You can honor them. But as soon as you jump into what they're feeling and stay there or feel like you have to change it because they're uncomfortable, you've just crossed a boundary that isn't good for either of you.
Yes.
And sometimes the best thing we can do for others is just, you know, send them love and know that if this is happening for them right now, it's as it should be. And there's nothing really we have to do to get involved.
And on the flip side, and that totally resonates, and hopefully that the others that are listening hear that as well, but also feeling your own feelings. So for me, being a very strong empath, what I would pick up on is others' feelings and exactly what you were saying, feel like I needed to do something, stick up for the people that were being bullied, fix the situation at work, do this, and like just get into fixer mode and solutions. And people need to work on themselves and process it themselves. And it's not your job, but then also, what I would do, not realizing it, is not feel my own feelings, because I felt that if I felt other people's feelings and emotions, then mine would be too big to bear. And what that ends up doing is it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And what I'm finally realizing is if you take a moment, and I kind of give myself a deadline, right? Like, it's okay to be sad. It's okay to be mad, angry, whatever. That's part of the beautiful part of being human and learning in this, your spirituality and your growth. But if I feel like after 24, 48 hours, I'm kind of sallowing and wallowing and doing all of that, then I'm like, nope. Okay. Time to move on. Let it go. Release it. And that was hard for me, like to recognize that I wasn't actually feeling my own feelings and emotions in a lot of ways, and just kind of holding that back.
And it's true too, that sometimes what empaths will do is first of all, you will feel in others what's unresolved in you. So us spongy people, for instance, let's just say someone had a parent that was, you know, often angry at them. They may be more prone to take on anger from other people, or maybe they have some unresolved anger in themselves. Again, that might be the emotional tone that they feel most from other people. So that's the first thing to recognize. As we clean up our own house and as we learn to have compassion for those, you know, our histories, ourselves, and work through that stuff, we will pick up less stuff from other people. But the other thing that can happen, I think you kind of alluded to this, is sometimes we feel other people's feelings because it's easier than feeling our own. And that's cheating, and it's going to get you one way or another. So it's always better to, when you are triggered by something that someone else is experiencing, and especially when you go into fix-it mode, because usually the reason that empaths want to fix what other people are experiencing is because it's hurting in them. And so what you need to do is go back home and fix what's hurting in you. Because that's actually the best way that you can affect change in other people. That particular person or situation may not benefit right away, or they may shift as well. You know, this is Earth is a personal, but it's also a collective journey. But when we work on ourselves, we shift energy for many other people to follow suit. So it's always good to bring it home. That is where you have the most impact, and that is what you're here to do.
Yes. Amen. I totally believe that. So something that is a constant theme with every single person that I talk to is that when you look inside yourself and you focus on making yourself a better person, that doesn't mean better in the way of society or way you think you need to be, but actually feeling your best self and your most authentic self, then the whole world would be a different place. And, you know, I believe I said this before too, but like our DNA and our experiences make us each one of us the rarest thing on the planet. There's never going to be another you, me. So our existence is the only proof that we need that there's something that we can only share with the world ourselves. And if that's not powerful to know that if we then focus and better ourselves, then we're there to hold that space, to be that person, to be that, you know, someone for somebody else. But we owe it to ourselves to actually be happy and to follow our own spiritual guidance and intuition. And what other things, so outside of if anyone's listening and things that you, whether it's something that you see commonly with, you know, it's a theme or a constant thing with your clients that happen and occur that you want to share with the listeners, or something that we haven't spoken about today that you feel led to share, you know, that is just coming from your spiritual guides or your higher self?
Well, what's coming through for my spirit guides for the people that are listening today, or I'll say the spirit guides because I have no ownership. It just says we cross that bridge into 2020. We're all being asked to have more compassion with ourselves. And in doing so, too, to really deepen that connection with your spiritual knowing and your intuitive knowing, because that is going to be the bridge that gets us to wherever humanity is going next. And that can look lots of different ways. And I'm sure that you talk about many of those ways on this podcast. So I won't go into all those things now, but compassion for yourself is really where it all starts and ends. So any practices that you can do to get there. And in my own journey, what helped awaken my intuition and do all the wonderful things that, you know, continue to help me on my path to being my best and brightest self. Self-compassion has always been first and foremost. And loving yourself, loving all pieces of your humanity, and also as much as you can, loving the journey that you're on, because sometimes the journey doesn't feel so loving at all. But when we can, you know, have that place of presence and that place of love for ourselves and for the experience, or even love the fact that we're not loving it so much right now, because that's fine too. It has to start somewhere. Life gets easier. Life gets more exciting. And back to this issue of goals, you know, the goals and the things that you want to bring into the outside world will come through that beautiful space of compassion and love. And that's what your spirit is here to express.
I love that. And I think it resonates with a lot of people that I'm just feeling in myself, that this is exactly the message that we want to hear as we're entering 2020 is exactly that. I mean, how can we expect other people to have compassion for us if we are also not loving ourselves and having that same compassion and holding that space that makes us feel safe and secure and loved because we are. And, you know, that's our gift and gift to the world. How can people reach you, or how would you like them to reach you? I know that you have a website and there's a quiz and all the social media channels and things, but would you like to share those with our listeners?
Sure. My website is victoriashawintuitive.com. I do intuitive coaching for people across the globe and intuitive counseling for my office in Connecticut, where I'm a licensed professional counselor. I am in the process, it should be ready almost any day now, developing Activating Your Intuition online course, which I'm really excited about because I've been teaching intuition development now for about 12 years. And this will be my first online class, and I'm really excited. I do have an active presence on Facebook and Instagram, and I vlog a lot. So, and I have a newsletter. If people are interested in that, you can sign up through my website. And I do a lot of blogging and also have a spiritual book group, which is here in Connecticut. But many people sign up for that list because we read really cool books. So you can follow along with us if that's something that would interest you. Thank you so much. This is awesome. I had a blast.
Awesome. Thank you so much again for your flexibility. And okay. You have a great rest of the week. Okay. All right. Bye.
Same. Bye.
Thank you for listening to A Psychic Story. Please be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode and join the conversation on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. All episodes are free on your favorite podcast player or at apsychicstory.com.